Hey, Ben, can you hear me?
I can now. Thank you. Did you get...
Hey!
I sent you a text like a minute ago, so it's give me five, but...
Oh, I didn't get that text.
Obviously. But I'm ready now.
Because I'm... I'm looking at it and... yeah, okay. Yeah, there it is.
Cool.
Sorry, Ben.
All right. Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I just ate some bread... And every once in a while, I have this thing where food can get sort of stuck. And it's sort of stuck. I don't need to have anything happen. I'm not dying or anything, but it is kind of weird.
Suck, like, in your throat or, like, in your teeth?
Like, in my chest.
Oh, weird.
It's not directly in my throat. It's a little bit lower down than that. And yeah,
like it's
when it happens,
still in your esophagus somewhere.
Sort of like that. Yeah. It makes me feel a little bit like I'm choking.
Yeah.
But obviously, as you can tell, I can talk, although, oh, excuse me. Sorry. For those of you who are listening, actually, you can probably hear this too. My voice sounds weird, weirder than it normally does. I'm fine though.
Yeah, you're not. I don't need to dial 911 to in.
Boy, wouldn't that be crazy if I died down here in the basement on the podcast
with your family upstairs, not knowing what's going on.
Wife and daughter sit upstairs. Yeah, exactly. Edward would sense it and come down and save me. I know it. He can tell when my friend Jeff is a block away. So
that's weird.
Why not? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He hates Jeff though. That's the thing. Hate is a powerful emotion.
I'm feeling weird right now because I haven't eaten anything all day, and it's 4 p.m. my time. And I should probably get some food. But
you are wait. Let me ask you a question, Ben. Have you had coffee?
I have had coffee. I've had 2 cups of coffee, but that was like in the morning.
Hmm. Was there sugar in this coffee?
No.
How do you take your coffee?
Regular. Regular black coffee.
Black coffee, no cream, no sugar.
No cream, no sugar. It's the, you know, I take after my father when my coffee habits are concerned. But it's really handy because my drink order at the Starbucks is really simple.
Yeah, almost as though Starbucks is overcharging you for the kind of coffee that you want.
Exactly.
As we know, me, on the other hand, I like my coffee... so that it's almost candy. The kind that I found that I liked was a Breve. A Breve is mostly cream, I think, with some little bit of coffee. And then I would put syrups in that and such.
Yeah. So. I started off drinking fancy coffees. I first got... drinking coffee seriously when I was in college, and my sister introduced me to mochas, and so
that's how they get
you. And that was my drink for the longest time, and I and in fact right after college I had a job where I had to get up at 5:30 in the morning, which seems like nothing to those who have to get up at 5:30 in the morning now, but because I had to be at work at 7. And my first stop was the Seattle's Best Coffee in the Fred Meyer down the street from my apartment at the time. And I would get a mocha. And I don't know if you've ever gotten mochas from a Seattle's Best Coffee before. And I haven't in a long time. I don't know if they still do this. But
I must have had at least one.
So the drink that would be presented to me would be a mocha, which is, you know, chocolate and basically in a latte.
Yes.
Topped with a cone of whipped cream. Garnished with a small chocolate bar. And so for like...
That sounds very funny.
For a year, my breakfast was basically chocolate and whipped cream.
Yeah. I think I might have told you this before. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the podcast. But I made what I called the basic mocha. Which was something I made in basic training for the United States Air Force. Yeah. It was their powdered coffee and their hot chocolate You Yum. Rip open both packets, pour them into your mouth, and then take a swig from your canteen and swash it around.
That sounds disgusting.
Oh, it was disgusting. But also, I liked it.
Ugh, God.
As you know, I consider myself somewhat of a weirdo. Oh, speaking of which, I have a new outfit thing that I'm doing now. I've finally hit upon the perfect Paul Goody outfit, Ben. Get ready, it's true. It's a turtleneck, a sports coat, and some form of slacks.
All right. I can see that.
It's casual, sort of, but more formal than most people.
Yeah.
It's sort of an in-between kind of stage, and I really, really like it.
Yeah. I remember the day. That doesn't sound so strange, because I remember when you just wore jumpsuits 24/7.
Oh, man. If I could do it, I would just wear jumpsuits 24/7. But it just doesn't... It doesn't fit in the time period and social strata that I am walking in right now. And also, I hate to say it, but the turtleneck and pants superior when it comes to using a restroom. You don't have to take
the entire thing off.
The entire thing off,
right?
In order to do that. Not that, you know, if you're doing your business, Ben, is what I'm right saying. You understand.
I totally get you.
There are things that you can do otherwise.
It's not like you're standing at a urinal and taking off your entire jumpsuit.
Right, exactly. And hey, but what a power move, I gotta say. That's the old, quote, home court advantage, unquote, if you really want to show somebody who's boss.
I know somebody. Was it you? I can't remember who told me this story. Maybe it was even you. But some acquaintance of a friend of mine had a friend who, if he got into an argument, would settle the argument by slowly taking off all of his clothes. And so the people who were arguing with him were like, okay, you're right. We're done. We're done here. Just stop taking off your clothes.
That sounds really familiar. I don't think I was the one who told you that, but I think I was present when
you might have been. That's always stuck with me, though.
But hey, it's worth it.
But that's a hell of a power move that I would not be able to do.
Yeah, I remember that was something that I don't think we ever did, but now we have seen other people do it. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben and I have often rejected ideas for something for us to do on stage, only to see it in sketch comedy later, like, you know, 5 years later, somebody does it, and we're like, oh!
Right. We should have done that.
The one I remember, Mr. Rogers takes off his shoes and then keeps going. I saw someone do it, I think just this year or sometime.
You mean that's not in the new Mr. Rogers movie starring Tom Hanks?
I don't think it's in the new Mr. Rogers movie, but I think that Mr. Rogers... okay, here's the thing. I have an opinion about Mr. Rogers that he was a little bit more risque than people let on. I read an anecdote recently that sometimes he would fart intentionally to make his wife laugh.
Yeah, that came out like within the last month.
So I do think that at some point in time in his marriage, he might have started doing the beginning of his show.
Well, what was the conspiracy around Mr. Rogers, that he was a sniper? Or was that Bob Ross? There's some sort of conspiracy theory. Both of which have been debunked. It's either about Mr. Rogers or Bob Ross, where they were a sniper in the military.
Now there is something where Sturgill Simpson, I may not be pronouncing his first or last name right.
There is a
he's a country
singer-songwriter named Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah. And some people have. I think just one guy in particular have suggested that he is a hired assassin. I will say, and I think I brought this up on the show before for sure. If you haven't seen his Netflix anime special, it's worth taking a look at. It's kind of cool.
He's have you seen the movie? Oh my god, it's the Jim Jarmusch zombie movie. What's it called?
Oh no, I haven't seen it yet. No. I haven't. Is he in
He's
it?
He's not in it, but his name is mentioned a number of times. Blair and I watched it recently, and shortly afterwards she was dealt ads for the Sturgill Simpson new album that was coming out.
Interesting. Yeah. I think we've talked about this before. That they definitely are listing and sending ads.
Yeah. No, totally.
So the one thing I'll mention, of course, is The Leftovers used his version of The Promise. The TV show The Leftovers used a version of his song The Promise to great effect, I have to say. And The Leftovers, of course, Damon Lindelof, Watchmen. Ben, how's your Watchmen read going?
First off, I remember the name of the zombie movie. It's called The Dead Don't Die.
Yeah. And I am interested in it, for sure. I just haven't seen it.
I'm not going to say anything about it. Just let me know when you watch it. But I did finish reading the comic.
Oh, hey,
and
cool.
I found this thing online where Warner Brothers and an animation studio produced a motion comic. Have you seen this?
I have heard about it. I haven't seen it.
So it's a Watchmen motion comic, and it is pretty fascinating. It's basically if somebody took each panel of the comic and animated it just slightly. There's some camera motion. There's, if people are talking, their lips don't move, but if they're walking, they look like they're walking. And it's narrated like an audiobook. So there's one guy who is doing all of the voices, which is a little interesting when Laurie's talking to her mom, or if somebody begins talking off camera, you don't really know who's speaking at first. The word bubbles do appear on screen. Each chapter is about a half an hour long. So since there are 12 chapters in the book, it's a 6-hour viewing experience. And I did it. I watched the entire thing. It is edited, so it's not every single word. But there are some moments in the comic where basically the text is just describing what's happening, where you don't need that
in an
animation. So I watched that. And then, please forgive me, but I wanted to see it. I watched the 2009 Zack Snyder movie.
Hey, man, listen. A lot of people don't like the movie. I've got my problems with it, but... You know, my problems with it, if this makes sense, are macro problems.
Yeah.
I've got a huge problem with a couple of things. I think we've talked about it. And this is the thing. This is not a Zack Snyder problem. Zack Snyder didn't make this problem. I'm a big proponent of, do what you can rather than not doing anything. He did a really... straddled an elephant, if you will, getting what he got onto screen on screen.
Yeah.
One of the things, he names the producer by name in an interview, but I don't have it on the top of my head. There's a producer who hated smoking, and they would not put the movie out if people smoked in it.
Which is a thing, because Laurie smokes constantly.
Yes, she does. And the spoilers for Watchmen, the movie and the book, the fact that people aren't smoking constantly, right?
Yeah.
Makes it more plausible that John was giving people cancer.
Right.
Whereas in the book, you can't really tell if he is or if this is just a hit piece that people have come up with.
Yeah.
In fact, I was leaning... When I read the book myself, I was leaning 100% towards hit piece. That's what I thought was was happening.
Me too, but I think that's just because it is delivered in such a way as to feel like it's a hit piece. Not that they made it too obvious, but as you're reading it, you're like, all right, something shady's going on here.
So Zack Snyder said, okay, let's go full on with this. No squid. No squid.
Well, I saw some internet video hosted by these two obnoxious people who it's voiceover only, but it was like the differences between the movie and the comic. And they mentioned the fact that somebody said that Watchmen was an unfilmable comic.
Yeah.
And so before I started, like, I started watching it, and I was surprised at how faithful the framing was. And Zack Snyder said that he used panels of the comic as his storyboard, which made sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, honestly, if you're going to do a comic, you don't need to do storyboards.
Exactly.
Because it's already there for you.
I pretty much figured that the comic, the pirate comic within the comic, was going to get cut.
Yeah.
I thought, like, a lot of the minor subplots were going to get cut, like the domestic stuff with Rorschach's psychotherapist. In fact, I was surprised that he was even in there.
The psychotherapist.
The psychotherapist. Yeah, the psychoanalyst is what he calls himself. And the all the newspaper stand drama.
Yeah, that's too bad. I forgot that wasn't in there.
Yeah. But otherwise, you know, I didn't. Oh, there was just one thing that I didn't like, and that was they let Night Owl watch Dr. Manhattan kill Rorschach. It's this
in the comic.
Dan and Laurie go off and they're already doing their own thing while Dr. Manhattan follows Rorschach outside, because Rorschach's like, no compromises, never compromise, and he's gonna go tell everybody what Ozymandias has done, and Dr. Manhattan's like, I can't let you do this. Well, in the movie, Night Owl follows Dr. Manhattan outside and watches Rorschach get, you know, disintegrated, and then he has this big emotion. Well, it's this big emotional moment, you know.
Yeah. And what are you going to do? You know? I know.
That wasn't my biggest quibble with it, but I'm just watching it going, come on, that was an easy thing you could have stayed true to the comic for.
Yeah. I would agree
with
that.
But, I mean, I didn't hate the movie. I did feel it was kind of long, but, I mean, like, Terry Gilliam was going to produce a Watchmen movie, and he wanted to make it, like, a 6 to 8 hour miniseries.
Right. And that would have been kind of cool. I would... See, this is the thing. Yeah, we've talked about this. This is a general theme we keep coming back to. You and I are theater people.
Yeah.
That's where we... And in theater, there is no sacredness. The theater is ephemeral. It you have a show, and it's a great show, and then you have another one, and you have another... And they keep on coming back, right?
Yeah.
You don't have an editor who makes it all perfect, right? So if there were a Terry Gilliam version of Watchmen and then the Zack Snyder version and all that, that'd be fine for me. I wouldn't mind having, you know, 8 different versions of it.
It definitely wouldn't. I think Terry Gilliam would have Terry Gilliam'd all over Watchmen, though.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
of course.
He's got an aesthetic. What did I watch recently? Oh, 12 Monkeys. I watched 12 Monkeys again. I think I don't know if I'd ever seen the movie, but if I had, I didn't remember it all that well. And when it started, I'm like, you know what? If you hadn't told me this was a Terry Gilliam movie, I'd have guessed it was in the first like 2 minutes.
Yeah, you know what was interesting for me is Terry Jones directed Labyrinth, and I felt that
he did.
Yeah. Yeah, either he wrote it or directed it.
I did not know that. Of course, I haven't seen Labyrinth in years.
He was involved in some of it, and there's a specific part where this big war machine rumbles by, and then a little tinier war machine squeaks after it, and I was like, that's just like in Mighty Python's Flying Circus. They had the bike race, and then finally of the painters, and then a little painter rides after him, and I think it's Kandinsky, but I don't know. I'm thinking of that because somebody goes, that's Kandinsky. So I don't know who it was. It wasn't Kandinsky probably, but anyway, the point is you can tell there's a signature.
Yeah, totally.
There.
And then finally, after I watched the movie, it was pretty late, but I still had some energy. I watched the first episode of the HBO TV show.
Aha, yes. I have seen the final episode.
Yeah.
Just this Sunday. So
yeah,
so we got some growing to do, but what'd you think?
I liked it. I liked it. Did I have anything anything about it that I didn't like? I don't want to say yes, but again, it's the first episode. They're still world building.
Yeah.
So sure. Even though you think you know the world, it's completely different. So I think I'll have a more informed opinion once I get a couple more episodes in, which I should be done watching the entire thing by this time next week. Actually, by this time next week, it's Christmas Day. So.
Haha. So yeah. No. But of course we could probably record on our normal time, Boxing Day.
Indeed.
We're recording earlier than normal.
Yeah.
What's going on tomorrow, Ben?
I am.
Can you say?
I am. I can. Your friend of mine, John Osbold of Awesome.
Oh yeah, John Osbold of John Osbold. I mean, really, yeah. Come on, right? He's a powerhouse himself.
Well, John Osbold's alter ego, Jose Bold.
Yes,
is he puts out a Christmas album every year.
Oh,
for free for his friends. And so this year he's actually producing a whole variety show.
Nice.
So it's Jose Bold and friends, and I am videotaping it. And so I gotta get to the theater early and set up and make sure everything's okay. And so our normal recording time would not have worked for me.
Well, that is great. You're fostering community and all
creating
sorts of
and helping to erase the ephemeralness of a piece of art that is happening, and it can be held in somebody's computer for decades to come.
You know, the other thing that I really do like, there are bands sometimes, right, who don't know their own lyrics as well as their fans.
Yeah.
And it's because the band, you know, they some musicians, I would count myself pretty much among them, when they write a song, they really labor over stuff and like, oh, I want this word to be this. But as they continue to sing it, they come up with things that they think are better, you know, than their original lyrics. Now, I myself, and I know that sometimes people hate this, I will change lyrics a little bit if I like something better.
Yeah.
There's a song which you've seen me play before, Bridges and Balloons, Joanna Newsom. And she has a line, and a thimble's worth of Milky Moon can start hearts larger than a thimble, or either start. She says start. The guy from the December says beat. I think that changes a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Depending. And when I sing it, I sing can spark hearts larger than a thimble.
Yeah.
And it's because I like how spark and heart fit together. And you know, the defibrillators and you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's not that I don't like the original or I don't appreciate it. It's just a little thing that I do sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So imagine you're a touring musician, right? You've played 100 shows, and there's some guy who's listened to your fifth show over and over again. Your lyrics and their lyrics might diverge
right
through time a little bit. And that, my friend, is something that you can't necessarily correct because it's not necessarily wrong.
It can be discombobulating. I was watching an interview with John McRae of Cake. And
yes.
It was they were talking about their song, their like one hit single, The Distance. And
yes.
And John McRae said that when he recorded the song, like in studio, the version you hear on the album is his first take. And he told the story where he was like, should I do it again? And the engineer was like, no, that was great. That was perfect. And he's like, okay. And but as he's as they've toured, of course, this band has been around for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. As they've toured and played that song over and over, he's changed it somewhat. He hasn't necessarily changed the words, but he's changed the cadence with which he says the lyrics. And yes. They played some concert footage. And, like, I know that song really well because I was really into it when it came out. And listening to him sing it with, like, maybe switching some phrasing around, like, putting the emphasis on different words and, like, speeding some words up where they were, like, kind of drawn out, it's really discombobulating to hear it because you're like, he's singing it wrong.
Well, your friend and mine, Mike Dowdy, are we friends? Probably not. But we've met him.
On a couple of different occasions.
You know, famously, will sing alternate lyrics to his stuff.
Yeah.
And we love it when he does, right? But there are some soul coughing songs where he'll pause and he'll come in at a different point than you think he will.
Right.
And you and I, from obsessively going over that album, put the pause in the right spot, and we're pleased with ourselves when we don't. When he goes, you go like getting that right,
yeah.
Instead of singing the other lyrics, it's great.
Yeah,
of course, when he does it in concert, he may not do that at that point. And there's another version of it. Where he sings an entirely different verse that's great. But I've only heard it that one time. It was from a live concert or whatever.
Yeah.
And what song... I think you know this, but I don't. There were some songs that he reworked. Like maybe a song on Skittish that then became a different song later on.
Yes, I do. I think the song is Lisa Ling and Lucy Liu on Skittish, which became the song 27 Jennifers.
Yeah. Yes. That is a great example. Speaking of great examples, Ben, we try to set a good example by getting everything we do right, but sometimes we make mistakes. You know, I've heard it said that you and I don't do any research for this show. It's said by us often to set expectations. But then it's also proposed by me that perhaps future archaeologists or anthropologists, whatever they want to term themselves, might do a deep dive into all of our episodes to find out what life was like in the early 21st century. And we don't want them to get wrong information. We want them to get the right information. And how can we do that if we're just doing things off the top of our heads? Is there no fact-checking? Sometimes there is. Is there this week?
Actually, we don't have any corrections from Jennifer Fact-Checker, but we do have input from sometimes fact-checker friend of the show, Stephen McCandless.
Okay, so breaking this down, my wife, Jennifer Pratt, Jennifer Fact Checker, more often than not, sends us corrections to our...
And she may not have known that we were recording a day early, so that's why we didn't get...
she might have known. There's a possibility that someone mentioned...
Well, you would know more than that, about that than me.
And then it may so happen that somebody said... hey, what time is your show over today? Because we have to go and get butter.
Ah.
And who would that have been?
Well,
in
that case,
Stephen McCandless.
In that case, if we have late breaking corrections, I will interrupt the show.
Yes. I doubt that we will, just from the sounds I'm hearing upstairs, but there is no way to be sure. But you listening. Yes, I'm talking to you. Hi. How are you? You know that you can write to us and give us corrections? If you have any or suggestions other than quit doing the show, why would you do that? You're one of our few listeners. Don't make us do that. Just write to us at bensemail@yahoo.com@gmail.com.
Yep.
The most complicated email address in podcast history.
the show that just dares you to email us.
Yeah, try to figure it out. And we will read your words to us on the mic in a segment that we like to call
Corrections.
Ding! All right, so what do we have?
Well, he sent me, or he sent Benzimil at yahoo.com at gmail.com a screenshot from his phone. And I first want to point out that he's connected via Wi-Fi through a VPN. So good on you, security-conscious-minded Stephen. Good for you
now,
using
now
a VPN.
Now, how can you tell that?
Because it says so on the screen, on the phone screen.
Okay, gotcha.
Next to the Wi-Fi signal, it says VPN. So,
and what's the date on that screenshot?
There's no date, but there is a time.
Okay.
He sent it at exactly 2300 hours, and I received it at 11:01 p.m. on Tuesday, December 17th. So I know it's from his phone.
So a one-minute delay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, it is in relation to what we often talk about when we talk about podcasts and podcast archaeology.
Oh, yeah.
And something that we think is going to happen is that of the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of hours of podcast content out there, you will just be able to search and find anything anybody is saying, regardless of whether or not somebody wrote it down.
Yeah.
In their show notes. Well, guess what has happened?
Oh, are they doing that now? Is it Google search audio?
New in Apple Podcasts. Search the audio. It's in beta, but type to find topics and people mentioned in the audio. So let's say I mention Elon Musk. We're not really talking about Elon Musk. Elon Musk. This show will show up in the search.
He's going to find us. Oh, no. Here, let's think of an obscure person that we can think of. And then they'll find this Emo Phillips. How much? No,
Emo.
That's
I don't. I wouldn't necessarily call it emo obscure.
Yeah. Let's see. Who's someone that would be delighted? Josh Fadum. Josh Fadum is a really wonderful physical comedian.
There's
who is famous for the guy carrying all the coffee. In the Twin Peaks show, he's also in Twin Peaks: The Return. That is, he's also in Better Call Saul as the videographer guy with the glasses.
Oh yeah,
he's great. So Josh Fadum, if you're listening to this because you found your name on the searching with the Apple thing, congratulations.
And Fadum also, is spelled F-A-D-E-M.
Yeah.
Sure.
The joke that I sent him back when I was on Twitter and was communicating with him, once I went private, of course, I can only talk to people that follow me, which keeps me from becoming a, quote, reply guy, unquote. It was that he should put out an album called Please Josh, Don't Fade Him, which I thought was pretty good. Based on Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him.
Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of other obscure people, there's a Russian who is not widely, his name isn't widely known, but there's a story, and I wish I could remember his name. There's a story that came out, and this was, I don't know, back in the 80s maybe, where this guy was working in the nuclear bunker.
Yeah.
And the order came out to launch the nuclear warheads towards America.
Oh, sure.
Turns out that this was like a malfunction, like a computer malfunction.
Yeah,
and so
I know all about this.
This guy,
yeah,
he basically averted World War III because he didn't immediately follow that order. Now, why he didn't,
cool,
I don't remember. Like, if he was suspicious or what.
He was using the bathroom and had to take off his jumpsuit and to put it back on. No. This is not the case. I believe that it was actually he was concerned that it wasn't actually legitimate.
Yeah.
He correctly apprehended the situation.
Yeah.
if I remember.
And right. I'm getting details wrong. I can't remember if he was like a guy working in a bunker or a pilot who was flying a route and was given the order, like a fighter pilot that had nukes on board.
Yeah, I don't think when I think of this, I think of him as being stationary.
Yeah.
But I don't know why.
Sort of like the dudes in the bunker in the beginning of the movie Warheads, or not Warheads, War Games.
Yes. Is that where Turn Your Key is from?
Yes, Turn Your Key, sir. So it's implied that that dude actually did kill the other guy.
Oh, hey, speaking about the dude killing the other guy, do you realize, future historians... Oh, by the way, I want to point out, then, that these future historians, anthropologists, you know, what have you, well, probably going to be AIs. It's probably, like, a dude who is sending out all the different AIs.
Podcastologist.
Just so that you know, right now, impeachment debate is going on.
Yes.
And at the same time, a rally is going on.
There was a rally here last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the impeach and remove rally, I believe.
Oh, no, I'm talking about like the president is actually...
Oh, he's speaking. Holding a rally. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Of course, that's his comfort zone.
It is. He likes it. He likes it when people are cheering and happy and booing.
And hanging on his every word.
People... Yeah, what else could one do in this situation, I ask you? So yeah, it really would be kind of interesting. I feel as though, and it makes me a little bit nervous to say this, that that they're laying the groundwork for if he gets put out, to be like, oh, that's not the real America, this is the real America over here. And it becomes like a thing.
Well, I mean, already people have said if Trump is removed, there will be a new civil war.
Yeah,
I think Trump himself has even said that.
Yeah, I come back to the idea of we're not really designed for that anymore.
Right.
It's whatever the U.S. military wants. You're familiar. Ben, I know you are. I don't know. I guess a lot of people aren't familiar with the U.S. military. It's a pretty good military. One might say
it's the largest in the world.
Yeah. Like one would say that maybe a lot of the funding that could go to other things ends up going to the military.
The military industrial complex.
Therefore, there will not be a civil war in the United States like there has been in the past.
No.
Something will happen, but
The way I see it is you're not going to have a civil war. You will have maybe a couple hundred or even maybe a couple thousand Trump supporters with guns and the military fighting.
I do kind of want to ask, and I have a couple people that I could ask, but I'm not really willing to do it because I'm a little bit concerned about the answer. But let's say this happens. What is the first act? What do you do? What do you do
sets
when
it
that,
off?
Where do you go? You know what I mean? Do you go to someone's house? Do you go to a government building? What is your plan for enacting this?
Well, I hate to say anything now that you can search for topics and people on podcasts.
Yeah.
But I think it starts with politicians getting murdered.
Yeah, that might be it. People who did the vote or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too bad. I don't like that. That's not great. The thing I was concerned about was, my neighbors who I'm pretty sure wanted this to happen. You know, like people going after... people known to them who espouse the...
Yeah, but I think if you're a rational person, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see even people who are, I don't want to say gun nuts, but who have, who have weapons, who have licenses for those weapons. I think, you know, and who are political and maybe vote Republican, maybe they're even a Trump reporter or a Trump supporter and don't agree with the impeachment process. I don't think they're just going to go around shooting everybody who's got a Bernie sticker on their car.
Yeah, probably not. But I wouldn't want to have a Bernie sticker on my car during that time period.
Because you may run across the wrong person.
You know, we don't have to name them, but there are people who are the least favorite right now of those folks. And they probably will, you know, be gone after. Especially, I mean, since it's a congressional thing, right?
Yeah.
Anybody who's in Congress. But this is the other thing I think about. Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Right. As of right now, not having articles of impeachment or anything against him, would be if Trump were removed, would probably be president. And then there would have to be a second thing. It's not like this huge removal thing. There isn't even any. There are rumors and allegations.
There's rumors that he's involved with the whole Ukraine thing that he knew,
but
which is impeachable.
You know, it's not the exact same thing as doing it right now. So I'm thinking this: if he were still in charge, right? And he goes, oh, man, it's too bad what happened to my former boss. Boy, I hate those guys, and let's make sure they don't do it again. And then he's in charge. I think that a lot of the fervor would die down. Because a lot of people like him. And when I say a lot of people like him, I mean a lot of people in the fan base.
Right.
For the current guy.
But he's not, I mean, as far as...
The current non-search termable...
As far as personality is concerned, he's a lot more even, level-headed.
That's right.
But as far as policy is concerned, he's a bit more extreme.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing that we always note is that the current guy, in an alternate universe, could have run as a Democrat. Same exact kind of style and everything, just different policies coming out of his mouth.
Right.
And it would have been, and I think he would have been just as happy, if not more so.
Yeah.
To be, you know, on the stage with, you know, famous people that everybody loves.
I'm not going to use any more real names on the show.
Exactly.
I think I would be surprised, based on what McConnell has said, based on what Lindsey Graham has said, I would be surprised if he actually went to trial in the Senate and was removed from office. I don't think he's going to get removed. And
it's just going to be a thing that... the House votes for,
yeah,
and then dies in committee or whatever.
As he says, the do nothing Democrats who've passed 200 plus bills and they've just died in the Senate. But, he's not going to get removed from office. We're going to have to vote him out, and now you know they've purged like 200 some thousand people from Georgia. They're purging more from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well, Wisconsin. That was a surprise.
That was a bit of a shock. I did not know that was coming.
So, the big thing, yeah, for me, I feel like, you know, you can't unring the bell. Obviously, he's never not going to have been president.
Right.
And now that he has been president.
But he will always
getting rid of him. And when I say getting rid of him, I mean out of the public eye, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He will not retire gracefully. He will.
No.
People will love a chance to get him on their show to like yell at people and
Well, I mean, in a liberal's, you know, wet dream future scenario, he's tried for all of his crimes and sent to prison. Whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. He's I don't think there's going to be a smooth transition of power should he be defeated next November. Because he's going to claim that, you know, if he does lose, he's going to claim voter fraud.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that
he's
that,
not going to concede. You
know, there's no scenario in which that'll go easy.
Correct.
Even if he were to say, like, let's say that he gets a challenger, a primary challenger.
Yeah.
And loses. Same thing.
Right.
And again, it's one of the things in the United States, you can get a lot of miles just being someone that the people that you don't like don't like.
Right.
You know, hate voting is a thing. Oh, depressing.
I mean, I'm not voting for this guy. I'm just voting against that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm voting to make my cubicle mate Cheryl upset that she doesn't get to, you know, have her gay wedding or whatever.
Right. That's usually how I watch sports. I'm not really rooting for this team to win. I'm more so rooting for that other team to lose.
Yeah, that's I just had somebody at work mention that to somebody else, like, I can even say he was going to, Ben, you're going to be impressed. This is me knowing something about sports. He was going to be rooting for the Vikings because he hates Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
That's the thing.
There you go.
I was watching the 49ers game, the San Francisco 49ers game, and they were playing the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't care about the Atlanta Falcons, but I was like really wanting the Falcons to win because I wanted the Niners to lose.
Yeah. That's a real thing. That's something that we like at least I can only speak for Americans. I can only speak for, you know, kind of white middle class Americans. But we really do seem to like to have someone to not like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's good to have someone to push all of your negative feelings towards.
So maybe that's the narrative that the Democrats need to propose this upcoming election. Don't vote for us because you want us to win. Vote for us because you want Trump to lose.
Well, there you go, Ben. You just got the search engine. maybe you have to say it three times in order for it to be relevant.
Like, it's the Beetlejuice algorithm.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hey, welcome. Hey, if you're really interested in the TV show Beetlejuice, I'm talking about the cartoon, of course.
Yeah, of course.
We are not really talking about it, but now we have, so welcome. And that's about it. So thanks for showing up, Beetlejuice fans. The main thing, is that I feel like we sort of tried that a little bit, if that makes sense. The idea of the guy on election night going, "Ha ha, you're gonna lose." I really do feel like it's possible that Lin-Manuel Miranda, hey Lin-Manuel Miranda, cursed the thing by doing his "Never Gonna Be President Now" dance on Saturday Night Live.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, it was during his monologue. And when I saw it, I was like, oh no. That might have made it happen. But who knows for sure. There are lots of people to blame for things, as I like to say. Speaking of people to blame for things, hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
Yeah, here she comes. Any second now. Oh, I've been playing The Outer Worlds, liking it.
Is that a PS4 game?
PS4, yeah. That's how I'm playing it anyway.
Yeah.
It's good. It's very very Fallout like.
I don't.
The people who did Fallout New Vegas actually.
Yeah.
Based on that.
I don't generally buy myself Christmas presents, but I may, yeah. if I can afford it, I may pick up an Oculus Quest.
You after should, Christmas. Ben. I would be very happy to well, hear I was, you got that.
Because I was thinking that just on an empty Annex stage would be a great way to play that game.
Oh, or to play I think so.
A game on that platform. Also, so, we buried the lead this before we get to Betty. This is our 200th episode.
Wait, this is our 200th episode, Betty. Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah. And who better to celebrate? So, and we this is a great example. We didn't do anything special. This is for real, just a standard episode.
Yep.
So if you start on the 200th episode, great. You've got 200 more of things pretty much just like this.
199.
Oh, man, I wonder what Betty's voice sounds like now compared to when we started.
Wow, yeah. 4 years
She's
ago.
She's becoming a young woman.
How old are you now, Betty?
What?
How old are you now?
13.
13, wow.
When are you going to be 14?
February.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah. I knew I will always remember Betty's birthday because it lands on a very specific day. Betty's birthday.
Exactly. Yeah. Like my birthday, which is on the Mercurialia.
Well, I was going to say what date it was, but then I was like, all right, this is Paul I'm talking to.
Valentine's Day.
There we go. Yes.
Yeah. Because Betty is a baby of love.
I'm not a baby.
Look at you, so little! So little! Look at you, so cute! So, yeah.
13, so 13 is 8th grade?
Yep.
That's right.
Wow.
Freshman in high school next year.
Wow.
Don't remind me!
Hey, by the way, I want to say it in front of you and the world, Ben.
Yeah.
I was very proud of Betty at her band concert that she just did.
Oh, yeah.
She did a really, really great job.
Excellent.
And hey, if you're part of the percussion group in Betty's school, close your ears. Some of those people really suck.
Yeah, they really do.
And Betty does not suck. And it was obvious when watched. There's one guy in particular, not going to say who's, but just a ding-a-ding-ding, just... I'm just going to hit this, and this is probably right. I guess I'm doing this right.
So.
Whereas Betty... counting, doing the things at the right time, it was good.
What instrument did Betty play?
Betty, what did you play?
Timpani, cabasa, bird whistle, cymbals, and snare drum.
And the bird whistle was pretty epic. It was nice.
It was pretty epic.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Betty is going to be doing marching band.
Neat.
Which the only time, Ben,
yeah.
really, that I can remember other than the Air Force where I took a big swig of water and then just pain happened because, you know,
Dad.
When you get dehydrated or whatever.
Dad.
Yeah, what's up, Ben?
You're really selling the marching band.
Do not
scare the child. Oh, right. Oh,
you're really selling
awesome
the marching
too.
Band idea.
I've made lots of friends, and nobody ever said anything bad about me. It was really good. Okay, now, Ben, here's the other thing. I've also called Jennifer down. So we can cut that, Ben.
Yeah,
also,
we'll cut it.
I have something to say. Okay. I don't make up things to correct, you guys.
When did we say that?
Yesterday, last time on corrections, you were like, did you even say that? Yeah. If I'm like, we didn't do this, I did it. It's because you said we did this.
Okay.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
Manufacturing things.
Okay. All right.
Writing about.
This is the thing where I'm wrong, so that's fine. We're good there.
I mean, people correct me too. It's fine.
So Ben, feel free to cut out wherever you think is. I'm sorry about making you do some work.
That's all right.
But cut out what's good.
Best ahead that's off the past.
Is there anything else you need?
Yeah. So okay, you know who's on first, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So Jennifer.
Yes.
I want you in Australian. To ask me if I want some coffee and say, do you want some coffee, mate? But then also, after I say yes, ask me if I want some coffee, mate. And then we're gonna do a little thing. Okay, so this is the commercial. I had this idea today.
Oh my gosh! Now I have to get my accent. That's not really great. You want some coffee, mate?
Yeah, sure. I'd love some coffee.
And would you like some coffee, mate?
Yeah, I'd love some coffee.
Okay, coffee, mate. With coffee, mate.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, what's this in my coffee?
Coffee, mate.
No, it's I know that it's coffee, but what's in it?
Coffee, mate.
But what's in it?
Coffee, mate?
How long does this go on?
It works! Oh my god. Thank you, Jennifer. That was great.
All right.
Okay. Also, please listen to Maladaptive, the podcast by Jennifer that she does and I help with.
And sometimes. I help.
Okay, so we're a little bit over, but there will be some
That's
stuff
fine.
Cut out.
Yeah.
Should we mention that there was some stuff cut out? Maybe that should get cut out too. Hey, it was a good podcast, Ben. We had a great podcast today.
We had to do no editing at all whatsoever.
Pretty great that we just do our podcast and don't edit it.
And don't have to worry about people saying things that are inappropriate.
Yeah. And I don't know what you're talking about. So,
I have no idea what you're talking
great.
About.
Great.
Okay.
Happy to be here. Ben, right. Thank you as always.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you and all the work you do for this podcast and the world.
Likewise.
And until I speak to you again, I would suggest that you keep it wrong.
Yeah, do me a favor and keep it wrong yourself.
Thanks, Ben. I sure will.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too. Take care. I'll talk to you later.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Bye.